day. So I believe everybody should be at Psalms chapter 1. We're just going to look at the first three verses here. So I'll go ahead and read, and then we can get into prayer and then get into the lesson here. So Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 states, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper." Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this day, Lord. No day is guaranteed. I want to thank you for all the family that we did get to spend with this Christmas, Lord, and I pray that you comforted those that didn't get to spend their family with their loved ones that they maybe even had this past Christmas, Lord. And just pray that you soften all of our hearts. I appreciate what you gave me in this message, Lord. I pray that one person would benefit from this tonight, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, too, it's happy holidays now, and that's acceptable, right? Because, once again, Boxing Day, well, that's passed, but now we at least have two coming up, and I'm sure anybody have any more? Brother Cole, can you grab that bucket of candy here? Are there any other holidays coming up that would qualify for, like, happy holidays? Anybody have any? Good. I just want to make sure I was doing my homework there. So, thank you so much. So now that we're in the final week of the new year, I think many of you are making some New Year's resolutions. And that's going to be a little bit of what we're going to be discussing tonight, is going to be looking at New Year's resolutions and really how to make a good one. Because believe it or not, there, just like they say there's not good and bad questions, well, that's a lie. There are some bad questions, right? And there's some good and bad New Year's resolutions. So, and it's, what's interesting is it's not just like personal resolutions, because with work this whole week, we're not allowed to have any meetings at work. And Brother Cole and I do very similar things when it comes to like account management work. And so there's a lot of communication with the customers. So it's really odd for an account manager to not have any meetings, zero, not one in the entire week. And why is that? And so we can reflect on this past year, see what the fruit of our efforts were, and then be able to look at our book of business and plan out the following year. But then also there's a little bit of maintenance that goes in to just really clean up the data that a lot of us here are very fond of, to just make sure, you know, they have this saying in data where it's like garbage in, garbage out. And that's really true. So this is the time where people are supposed to, even though I don't believe everybody does this. Anyways, we're supposed to do these things, these resolutions, basically. And how are we going to treat the following year different? In the military, we did the same things. Does anybody non-military know what we would call those? Anybody military remember what we would call those? No? So it's AARs, after action reviews, or after action reports. And during those, there's four main points. We would say what was supposed to happen, what actually happened, and then we would say, like, for like, what should we keep doing and what should we not? You have sustains and improvements. And why? Why would we have after action reviews? Anybody, this is a candy question. Come on. All right. To see improvement, yes. Can we go a little bit more low level, Paul? Right, like a comparison? Okay, here, yes, please, take one. So a lot of it's because there's a Brother Doug thing, is throwing candy at people. But exactly, because things don't really, they often don't go exactly according to plan. And honestly, barely things ever go according to plan. So I'm sure we all have a list of resolutions, right, that we've made in the past, and I'm sure we've all failed quite a bit. And if you're one of the people that want to be like hipster about it and say like, I don't make New Year's resolutions because that's mainstream to do, I'm sure you've made decisions at one point or another to be like, well, I'm not doing that again. I'm sure we can all be there. Amen. So whether we want to admit it or we don't, we've all made resolutions before. And I'm sure we've all at least broke one. And Doug and I made one, kind of. It was mid-year. It was at the men's conference I think that was in May, right? May?
April?
Okay. May would be better for my ego, just because it's less time. But if I were to say here, like, so here was the goal. So it was a really good men's conference. Any men, I would encourage you to come, right? Because it's fantastic. I cannot wait for the next one. And on the way home, we decided a few things that we need to, A, we need to get up about 4:30 in the morning. At 4:30 in the morning. And now that's 5, which we won't go into yet. But it was 5, and then the first half hour was supposed to be only prayer. The second half hour was supposed to be our Bible reading. Now, why is that? I think we all really don't need to go into that. I think we can all agree that there's some benefit there, right, to go through and pray for that long. By the way, if you haven't prayed for that long, try. And you're going to have to try again and again and again. But it's amazing what the Lord will do to your heart during that half hour. And then try to do the reading. Now, if I were to say that since April, we've woken up either 4:30 a.m. or 5 a.m. every day since, I'd be a liar. Because we have failed, and it was more than once and more than twice, and I really don't know how many. But the key is that we're holding each other accountable, and we text each other in the morning, and when we realize, we do this after-action review, like, brother, I haven't done this in the last few days. I haven't done this in the week. We need to get back on this. And the only appropriate answer, which is the only answer we've been giving with each other, is amen. Like, let's get back on this. And I encourage you all to do a similar thing. But what I want to stress is that just because we have this resolution and just because we fall off this horse doesn't mean we just wipe ourselves off and walk away. We need to get back on that. We need to get back on that point. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to see why are we having this message about resolutions. So it's right before 2 Corinthians. Thank you. So we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 40. And it says, let all things be done decently and in order. So that's the first point here. So let all things done be done decently and in order. And I think if we're trying to get something done, anything worth doing should have a plan, which is the second thing. Because it's important, like, what does it mean in order? If you really think about this like a nerd like myself, if something's in order, you have, like, so let's say we're using, like, a series of numbers, right? So, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, we can't just get an idea of, like, it's 1 and 5. We have to look at everything, and we have to think of each of those steps and put those in a specific order for it to be done in order, right? And that's why I'm proposing to you that anything worth doing should have a plan, because if everything needs to be done decently and in order, we have to have an idea of not only what the goal is, but what each step entails. And that would include a New Year's resolution. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at 3 things to consider when planning a New Year's resolution. So the first point is we need to know the goal. So know the goal, not just like a sentence. And there's a lot of space on the outside of this. I'd encourage you, if the Lord puts something on your heart to work on, please like put a little note for yourself. It's really important, but you really need to know the goal. And a few examples is if it's like a tech certification, it's like, okay, well, why am I doing this? Like, so where am I at now? Where am I trying to go? I think anything that, whether it's a resolution or a trial or anything that makes you stop and consider, I'm here and I want to get here, I think that's a good thing, right? So we need to look at just where we're at, where we want to go, and how to get there. So the first thing with the know the goal is I would ask yourself, why do I want this? Why do I want this? For example, I'm going to use one that I think a lot of people talk about when it's a New Year's resolution, and that's going to be, I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to start joining a gym, and I'm going to go and let them eventually just take my money because I'm not going to go to the gym for the whole year. So, but why though? Like, right? It's funny because we've all done this. We've all done this. And the thing is, like, why do you want to lose weight? Is it because, is it for like a lustful reason, or is it because you're trying to get healthier? Right? There's a big difference because if you're just doing it to chase like an image, you're not going to stick at it very long. But if you're caring what you're ingesting in your body and what you're trying to do with this energy, what you're trying to I guess become, like the person that you want to be to be like that, meaning healthy, it's going to stick with you longer. So let's look at Romans chapter 6. Let's look at what it shouldn't be. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. So just a few pages earlier, why the question here is, why do we want this? And why is it important to ask that? So Romans chapter 7, look at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. So it's important to, why do I want this? Also, let's look at Jeremiah. Let's turn all the way back to Jeremiah. So with it being a Bible study, we're going to use this this Bible here. So Jeremiah chapter 17. Notice how I'm not giving everything yet, so I can still win. Okay? So Jeremiah chapter 17, let's look at verse 9 together. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's easy to say, like, I want this. And it's easy to see, like, what we do all that's right in our own eyes, right? So it's easy to be like, well, it's not that bad. I just want a few more dollars, or I want this or that. But in reality, our heart is wicked, and who could know it? So it's important that we ask ourselves, why do we want something? Like, what? It's not just that thing. Is it? If it's money, it's going to be power, and that's not good, right? Certainly not good. So we need to ask ourselves this resolution that we're proposing to ourselves. We need to understand why we want this. The second part here, the Lord is always more concerned about the inner man. And in contrast, instead of the outer. So let's turn to Proverbs. I think here, we can all agree that Proverbs would be like a good book to reference for wisdom, right? But what's really interesting, like we'll see in like Matthew or Luke 4:4, is that's not the only book for wisdom. Goodness. Okay, it's already all there. Wow. Me too. Goodness. All right. So now that we're all there, we're going to look at... See, I still won. It's verse 2. So, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Yes. Oh, Proverbs chapter 21. So I really did win. Oh, wow. This is good. All right. So one of those, man, I'm going to really hurt my elbow here. So, but it's true though, like we all, the Lord pondereth our hearts and we do what we think's right. And in reality, like it's not the case. And we could put on a good show for a while, but really what's in our heart and why we want things is way more important than what you see on the outside. So that brings us to the second point here, is we need to know His will. We read Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 for the opening text. And I think it's wise, and it's comforting to know God's will. Like we should be like a tree planted by the river, and we need to meditate on His word. And really the only way we can see God's will and His plan is to read this book. A lot of people like want to say God and everything, right, and just say like, praise God, or if they get a touchdown, they're excited and they're, you know, doing like cross thing and like getting on their knee and like praying or something like that in the middle of the stadium. But really, they love the God that's in their head. They love the God that theoretically gave them that touchdown, when really that's not the God of this Bible. They just got a touchdown. I don't think it's the Lord's will whether it's the Saints win, whether it's like the Saints or the Browns to win. I really don't think he cares that much about that. And it's important to know that it's not what I think God says. Let's take a break here. How many times I've spoke with family, my own family, I'm saying, about how to go to heaven, right? And I've heard so many things. I grew up Lutheran. So, and all things Lutheran, like, that's what I thought, right? Like, okay, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to wear this robe. I'm going to put the candles up, take the candles down. I'm going to do these different things. I'm going to go through confirmation, catechism, first communion, all these different things, right? And really, none of that is getting me to heaven. None of that got me to heaven. I'm going to heaven, not because of that, though, but because of me understanding the sacrifice that Christ made for me and accepting him to pay for that payment for my sins. And it's amazing, though, when I'm talking to a lot of family members and going into the very basic truth, right? The Lord is not the author of confusion. Like, it shouldn't be this hard, stand up, sit down, kneel down, do all these things to go to heaven, right? Amen? So I'm bringing this up, and it's amazing to hear what they say gets them to heaven. And really, it's because, my pastor from, you know, like, my brother's, like, some weird thing, like, once removed, said this is what they said. Or, hey, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather or something like that was a really good man, and he said this is how. Really, just to take the Band-Aid off, I actually said this to a family member before and said, why are you asking a family's something to get to heaven when it's such a big deal, isn't it? Like, it's changing the direction of your eternity. So you're going to trust some family once removed instead of just reading for yourself how to go to heaven. And that's terrifying. So what I'm getting at, though, is they're trusting a God that's not real. It's a false God. It's basically the one statue that's like, what is it, like the other gods, right? They're not trusting the Lord. And it's absolutely terrifying. So it's really important that you just read this book to have a good understanding of God's will, the God's will. Thank you. So when we read God's will, we realize something here, aside from the salvation, which is the most important. But after that, we use this word called sanctification, right? And that's Christ wants us to be like him. After you're done writing that, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll give the whole thing. We're going to look at verse 15. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 15. Then when lust has that's James. Not what I was looking for. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation is behavior, right? So Christ wants us to be like him. Let's look at verse 16. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So a worthy resolution should be a characteristic like Christ. And when I think of characteristics of Christ, it's easy to go down and try to point like each thing, right? There's a lot of things. I mean, he's our Lord. John chapter 1, verse 1, right? So like he's always been here. There's a lot to unpack there. But I'm proposing there's 4 points here. There's 4 points that I would consider all of Christ's traits or characteristics that we would want to be like on this earth. And one would be like a calibration. So that would be the relationship between the Son and the Father. So that would be us with the Lord. So what encapsulates that is prayer and reading. So Jesus, who knew the Bible, right, who was the Word, took time to talk to his Father, who took time to read the Scriptures. How do we know this? How many times did he reference the Scriptures? How many times did it say he went to the temple, right? So even the Son took time to build that, to recalibrate himself with the Father. The second thing is connection, relationships with family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues. So why would Christ didn't worry about that? Sure he did. So anybody remember the wedding, right? That was like a family wedding. So he was there with friends and family. He cared about the connection with people. Jesus wept. He cared what they thought. Do you see this? So like he cares about that connection. That's something we also should do. Condition, stamina, endurance. He didn't work out or anything like that. No, but he spent a really long time in the wilderness. Right? So like these are things, when I think of Christ, I think of these four buckets. And last is contribution. Who else could add more value than Christ? Right? So it's what I'm proposing, that we have these four buckets. So we have a calibration, so that's our spiritual walk with the Father and the Son, right? The Father. Connection, which is with the family and friends. Condition, which is our stamina and contribution. I think those are all Christ-like characteristics, or at least buckets, that I think that a worthy resolution would at least fall into one of those four buckets. And praise God, because what we find in His will, too, is the second part, God wants to lead us. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." He wants to lead us. Let's look at the third point, is know the resources. Again, just like the second point, this can be a message all in of itself. Because God provides every single resource. So there was a joke that I heard, I think it was at Bible college, where it was like scientists were talking to God and they were like figuring out, like, we can create man from dust. And God's like, okay, like, so I'll go first, and God creates man, right? And then the scientists go and grab the dust, and God's like, whoa, whoa, get your own dust. And it's true, because He gave us every single resource that we have, right? Have you ever considered that? He gave us everything. If science created man from dust, they're still using something that wasn't there. The only being that can create things out of nothing is our Lord. So, if we were to go through all the resources God gives us, I can't comprehend how much time we would be here. Because He provides us all. So we're only going to look at a couple of them. So the first thing is, God doesn't want us to do this alone. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. All right, so look at chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 10. All right. So we have it here. It says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." So God wants you to have a Doug. So, really, too, like, I have more than one accountability partner. I go soul winning with Brother Becker, weather permitting and everything. Like, sometimes we have stuff going on. But our goal is at least once a week. And it's important, because there's days, honestly, like, it's a blessing. Chris, you're really a blessing here. Because that day, I did not want to go. And it's kind of making me emotional here. Sorry. I wasn't planning on that. So I did not want to go. Do you remember? It was really cold. It was so cold. It was so cold, and I didn't have good boots. That's a joke here. I didn't have boots. I was wearing some shoes, basically like what I have now. And I didn't want to go, because it was cold. And Kaylee was not feeling very well. I remember this, because I'll never forget this day. because it reminds me that it's not about us. Because, so I didn't want to go. Kaylee didn't want me to really go, honestly, because we're carnal, It's cold. She's not feeling well, which means then she has a 3-year-old, right? A little bit over a 3-year-old at home, which is kind of rough sometimes if they're running on a little sleep. And so really didn't want to be there. We go out, and we made it, what, one street? I think it was like one street, like both sides, and it was your street. And as we were walking to his house, he was walking out to salt the driveway. And I'm the silent partner in this case, and Brother Paul was talking to Chris and just sharing the good news on probably one of the worst days in February. And that day, Chris got saved. And I think, you weren't here the first week after, but I think it was like the second week after he came. And he's been going through a foundations class, and it's really an encouragement. And I really feel like the Lord does things like that just to show us that it's not about us. That it's about, he gives the resources, he gives the orders. And really, all that to say is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, he wants you to have a Doug and wants you to have a Paul. There's days where I don't want to and Paul's knocking on my door. And I doubt this, I'll just say this to make myself feel better, where there's maybe one day out of a year where Paul doesn't want to go and maybe I'm pinging him. And it's funny, but it's so true. That accountability partner, the Lord wants us to have that. We need to be held accountable. And that's the second part, is we should be accountable. From reading the Bible, I would say that an accountability partner is wise. I really do. And I'm going to say this again, is whenever you think of, like, I just finished a Proverbs class at HBI, which is the Bible college around here. And it was nice. It was really good. And there's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs. But I think that's really good wisdom in Ecclesiastes. Amen? There's good wisdom outside of Proverbs. And that's really important why you go through and read the entire Bible. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. I guess Brother Paul told me this. It's really interesting. It's like that's like a parallel verse. Did anybody not know that? Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. So watch. If you just open your Bible and go to Luke 4:4, and then like hold that spot and go to Matthew 4:4, it's the same message there. And it's not exact like word for word, but it's important because the Lord says two times that in like the same thing. So and. I don't know, maybe I'm just weird because I'm a data guy, but it's important to see these things, like in the same chapter and same verse in two different books, it's man cannot live on bread alone. And it's important that you don't either. So why would this be? God wants us in this word. It's because God wants us to depend on him. It looks like I gave away the farm here because it shows the next one, we must be confident in him, which good, it's really the next. But it's true, though. God wants us to depend on him. And we need to be confident in him. And we're going to park here. We're good on time. We're great on time here. So why is it important to be confident in him? Because I know it's easy to say, we're all confident in him. We're trusting in him to go to heaven. I would challenge you that you're not as confident in Christ as you think. Here's an example that really blew me away in a missions class that I just took this past semester. And they said, let's use the Great Commission here. It was exactly this. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you think that's possible? Don't answer. Do you think your Lord that saved you from hell would ask you to do something that's impossible? Right? I've sat in the seat so many times during a missions conference, thinking like of how many, you know, we hear all these things in missions conferences, like, what percent of people don't have a Bible and like what percent of the world doesn't have people? God would not ask us to do something if it was not possible. All things are possible through him. So if we're sitting in a missions conference thinking that we can't reach the lost because it's just me, you know what that causes? That causes you not to even try. Because if you don't think something's worth pursuing, you're not going to do it yourself. And I think it's evident too. Like me, I was sitting in a lot of the missions conference, I am that guy. I thought that a lot, thinking like it, like every creature. Like I'm not saying like I shouldn't. I'm not saying that, but thinking that it can actually be accomplished, right? We hear like that one island. I think it's off of India. That like once a helicopter comes, they start throwing spears at it. And we're still good on time. I'm one of the guys that reads the comments on YouTube, which is never a good thing, because first of all, there's a lot of trolls on YouTube, and so I read, but it was about the missionaries that went on a boat to go to that island where they threw the spears, and they were killed. And then people went to go collect the bodies, and they're attacking the helicopters with the spears. I'm not joking. And one of the first comments is, like, how terrible Westerners are to go there and to, like, think, like, to do that. Like, how dare they impose their beliefs on these people? And it really upset me. And I start going into this commenting back and forth. But it's true. We need to be confident in him. Even if there's, like, repercussions or anything like backlash, we need to be confident that the Lord is the living God and will not command us to do things that are impossible. All things we can do through him. So we need to be confident. Thank you. So 1 John chapter 56, you don't need to turn there, verse 14 through 15, shares that if we ask in confidence, and it's in his will, right, that it can be done. Once again, it's the confidence. It's being sure that it can be done. So, right here. So, James chapter 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So, once again, it's important that we ask. It's important that we're confident. But, like, early on, it's important, why are we wanting this? So, that brings us to the third point. Oh, I had duplicate slides there. That's time. Excuse me, the third part of the resources. That's time. And what that is we need to use our time wisely. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. We don't have a lot of time. The last thing that I would say is encouraging, though, is we need to remember that we're still on his time. Right? So as long as we're in his, there's no better place to be in the Lord's will. And it's important that we know that it's his time. And I'm saying this not just for, like, good truths, which it is a good truth. It's when you're making this resolution, I hope that all of you have some type of note, is say it's one thing, I'm going to share this because it's good. Like baptism, you confess your faith, people can hold you accountable, right? I'm going to do the same thing too. Like I would like to get back to the gym, right, and eat better and things like that. And the reason I'm saying that is, what does that have to do about God's time? It's, well, I'm going to do what I can do and the Lord will do what he can do. And he can do a whole lot more than what I can do. And my job is to just obey. So if I'm not seeing the results that I want and the timing that I want, I just need to have faith that it's about the task and not about the outcome, because the outcome will come. When I was in the service and I would do the 2 minutes push-ups, 2 minutes sit-ups, and a 2 mile run, I remember the best day that I've ever done in the push-ups, I kept asking them, how many did I do? Because I just wanted to know the minimum. So at least I exceeded the minimum, when that's not what we should be doing. We should just focus on the task that generates the effort and keep doing that task. I did way more push-ups that day than I ever thought I could do. And it's because I was focusing on the actual effort and not the outcome. So, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So he is not bound to our timeline. So when you're waiting, say your cheat day or something is going to be on Sunday, let's use Sunday, or one Sunday to get Mitchell's. And when it's Saturday or when it's Friday, remember, like, this is just a vapor. So if my life's a vapor, this is just such a small portion of this, right? It's a molecule. So now we have a conclusion. I need you, if this has been hard for you to get through, I really need you to stick with me through this end. This is really important. So conclusion, the first point is have a goal. Let me go back to this. So remember, we have the four buckets. Men, I have a copy of this. Like, there's a book with the four buckets of calibration, connection, condition, and contribution. It's really important that I think those are four good buckets. And it's easy to stick to four tasks instead of, like, 10. So if you want to improve in one of those buckets, I'd recommend that. But two is have a plan. God the Father even has a plan, and that's Christ. So if God, that can do all things whenever he wants, and he can just speak people or things, make light without stars, if he has a plan, I think it's really important that we all have a plan. And then the third point here is test your plan. So as you're on this journey, evaluate where you are. Like, do like a quick calibration. Like, I want to be here, should be here. Am I in that line? If not, I need to get right. And here it's, know your resources. Time is the most precious resource. Guys, I need you all to be with me for this, because this is, we're about to finish within the next 5 minutes. But time is the most precious resource that our Lord gives us outside of his word. And we need to use it wisely. So we're about to look at a slide that I saw, so I did borrow the actual slide. But I really encourage you to stop and consider what I'm sharing with you. So can everybody see what this is? It's a bunch of squares. Can everybody at least see that? Paul, can you see that they're squares or no? Cool. They're probably dots too. But what these are if for every 1 week in a 90-year-old life, that's how many squares you'd have. That's how many weeks a 90-year-old has in their life. And a lot of us are younger than 90, but a lot of us are older than 20, older than 30, older than 40. Do you see where I'm getting with this? And the first 20 years, we really can't do much. I really think, like, a man isn't a man, I'm sorry, until 25. Like, I don't know what I was thinking until I was 25. Like, I shouldn't have been trusted to tie my shoes. But once I turn 25, it's like everything clicks, and it's like, oh, wow, I was an idiot. Like, and then you start getting things in order, right? But serious, so think about this. So now take out 25 years out of 90 years. Okay, how well are you going to serve the Lord on the last 10 years? You have no idea. That's if you have 90 years. So if we have 90 years, you're not going to be able to be door knocking at 90. If you can, great. I hope you prove me wrong. But probably not 20. You know, my grandfather's towards the end of his 70s, like 77, 78, and he's quite functional. He still bowls. His average is over 200. But, yeah, I know, right? It's like 215 or something. But I've seen his health start deteriorating quick. Not as in, like, he's, you know, slip on a banana peel kind of thing, although that could be. But I'm serious. Like, so he's 13 years. Like, he still has 13 years on that. And his health is going down. So what I want to challenge you is think of where you are on this 90-year block of weeks. And remember that those days where you're thinking that you have all these tasks to do that can wait until tomorrow, that tomorrow will never come at some point. So stop putting off what you're going to do. I'm going to read my Bible. And start reading your Bible. It's not about doing everything all at once. Try to do one thing better each day. If you do 1% better for each of these blocks, you'd be amazed with what you can do at the end of this. So if we can just go ahead.